1, 2, 3, 4.
Back in the saddle again. It's 218. That's a horse. Where is Kevin?
Who I'm on knows? A horse, yeah, in the saddle.
Now it's time for this show.
Bye-bye.
Business.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys. We are indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, February is upon us. We're deep into February.
Hooray.
Hooray for February. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think my New Year's resolution, because I've really stalled on getting one until now.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a single guy, and I'm microwaving a lot of dinners. Probably too many dinners.
Oh, I was going to say that's the way to do it.
Do you actually believe so?
No.
Well, there is
continue.
There is something to the idea of, like, the longer it takes you to prepare a meal for just yourself, the sadder it is. Whereas the quicker you can do it, it's like, okay, it's over. I've eaten a lot.
Part of me thinks it's the other way around. Like, if you prepare yourself a nice meal, it's like you're doing it for you, you know? You're treating yourself.
But if you don't have anyone to share it with.
But it's like the opposite is you just being like, oh, I'm just going to stick this burrito in the microwave for 2 seconds. All right, I'm done. Let's eat.
Yeah, but that's then like it's just like over. I know. There's no romance to it.
There's
I just
no
like,
romance to it at all, but...
But on to that point, I think I need to get away from the microwave BS, and I think I want to start preparing more meals this year. And so what I'm going to try to do, starting this week, hold me accountable, listeners.
I will.
Is like, make one thing every week. Just one thing. It could be cookies and not like the Nestle, like, you know... pre-cut, pre-done cookie dough yeah. that you just stick in the thing. But, like, make some from scratch, use cookbooks, make meals, make desserts, make casseroles, just try stuff, because I haven't done it before.
That should be cool. I am also going to hold you accountable. Every week, I'll just be like, hey, Kev, what'd you make this week?
What'd you make this week, motherfucker?
Oh, nothing? Okay.
Okay, so...
I'll just mean-eye you the entire show.
Yay, I have more people to disappoint in my life.
Yeah.
So, guys, there's no guest today. Henry Kissinger is...
Fuck Henry Kissinger. I'm mad about it. He canceled on us.
Yeah, and he didn't even have the courtesy to call us himself. He had President Bush do it.
Yeah.
Bush 43, George W. Bush.
Right, not HW.
And so we were on the phone with Bush, and he was like, I love Gilmore, guys. he sounded a lot like Bruce.
It's a very nice sentiment of him to say... But we were just kind of like, thanks, I guess.
And he was like, can I come on the show?
And we said, okay, yeah, are you not busy? And he was like, I mean, I only do these paintings nowadays.
Yeah, and then he showed it. He texted it. Maybe we'll post on the Twitter. He painted me and Demi.
Yeah.
Taking a shower, which is weird.
Actually, that's not posted on the Twitter.
Yeah, that's probably strange. A little...
Sorry, this is just for us, and yeah. We don't even want it. But yeah, George W. Bush next weekend.
We'll have him on. Like, yeah. I think he's probably a nice guy.
Probably. I don't know why he wants to talk about Gilmore Girls, but, you know, it should be great.
I wonder who his favorite character is. There's
a
lot
he's
of...
definitely a Jess guy. You know he loves Jess.
I love Bad Boys and Magic.
I love the thing where he stole all the gnomes. I loved it.
Now we're kind of doing Bill Clinton versus Prince.
Yeah. I don't know the difference between presidents.
Oh, that's
okay.
My
presidentist?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Presidentist, that's a good name for a NBC sitcom.
He's running the country, but he also cares about your cavities.
The only thing he's trying to keep clean is that mouth.
Oh.
Or wait, no.
Hang on.
It was almost... Look, we'll work on the tagline for presidentist.
You said it with the confidence as if it was perfect, which was amazing.
He's trying
to
clean up
you.
The country and those gums.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. The only... The only filling he's... No, I don't know. But we got it.
Don't forget to floss these streets. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Yeah, it's fine.
Look,
tweet me your
Presidentis taglines, and I will laugh at them.
Actually, tweet them, and then you'll what to them?
Laugh at them.
Yeah, we both will. So hashtag Presidentis, and then tweet at Demi all your Presidentis taglines. But in lieu of that, and until we welcome Mr. Bush, President Bush, it's disrespectful to call him just Mr. Bush.
I'll call him Mr. Bush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got to give it back. We got to give it back to where from whence it came. Give the love back from whence it came. To who?
The fans.
Because it's all about the fans, man. So, iTunes review challenge still in full effect. There was one particularly interesting one we might talk about off mic from a user who chose the username Mrs. Kevin T. Porter. So that'll be interesting. So if you guys want to go have a little giggle and check that out, I don't know what that's about anyway, but it's funny. I had a laugh, but I think it's time that we drop this sick. Oh, by the way, this is trademarked now. Did you know about this?
The sick beat? Yeah.
It's trademarked.
She also trademarked like part like it's 1989 and some other things, which I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
But I'm glad you caught yourself.
I think it's for merchandising purposes.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
So it's like...
Buy a shirt with this phrase on it.
She trademarked the phrase, hi, how's it going? So now we can't say that anymore.
Well, great, Kevin. Now we owe Taylor Swift money.
Do we though? Because it's a free podcast.
No. We would owe her money if we made merch with those on it.
Okay, so yeah. We can still say, let's drop this sick beat.
This is Gilmore Guys.
Yes, this is Gilmore Guys. Yes.
La la la. Okay. We're so out of tune.
La la la.
This is Gilmore Guys.
Yeah.
I'll
take the first names if that's not too lame. Firefly 802. We want to say thank you. Rebecca_Martin. I hope you're not at your computer just farting. Carrie W. Exclamation points. You get points for smoking all the joints. The joints of the nice words that you left for us. Hey, here comes a bus. Whoa.
Mama of Monster and Monkey, you say a lot of M's and I think that's so funky. Miss Kevin T. Porter, hey, Kev, that's you. She wants to marry you. I think you should do it, dude. Taylor S., or should I say Taylor with the E? That's funny, because that's not how you spell it usually, but that's okay. You're one of a kind. And also, you left a review. That's so kind.
Jillian S., you are the motherfucking best. Yeah, ecked up. Have you ever watched that video, Two Girls, One Cup? I do not recommend it. I haven't watched it myself.
Don't do that.
I would put that video on the shelf and never, ever watch it. Never take a look. I would instead read a book with Candace Ann. She's the man. Amanda Bynes. She's going crazy. Sorry, Amanda Bynes. It's not funny to make jokes about mental illness. Funny nicknames are hard. That's a username. And it's hard to rhyme that. Chelsea Ray, 1121. Hey, hey, hey.
K-Sod Garnet? Why, a question
Garrett.
Mark. Do you or... Oh, I said that wrong. My bad. K-Sod Garrett? I can't read very well, but hey, yeah, that's fine. HD2011. We want to say thanks. You've been lots of fun. And then we got a Lee Bits. That's true. Hey, Lee Bits. Thank you. So.
Huff. Pluff. Ooh, yeah. I want to have a muffin with you. Go to breakfast and have an omelet. That would be the best fist. I heart Kevin and Demi. I'm not speaking in third person. I have a semi for that person who has that username. Because you are really, really not lame. Say Ray, the beta wolf. What rhymes with wolf?
Golf.
Golf.
Of. Not really.
Let's go play some golf. Amanda Drake, I got my eyes on you. You know that song, How He Do. Caffeine Queen, you're not too mean. Thank you for being so lenient.
Reggie Liz, what's up? What's the biz? Hey, thanks for the review. Want to say thanks, Reggie, and thanks to you, Liz, too. Now we got a last guy. That's ALN213.
213, yeah.
Gonna say thank you and then drop the beat.
This is how we do it.
This is Gilmore Guys.
Gilmore Guys. Ooh, that was fun.
That was fun.
our rap's a lot better when you pick the beat. and I don't try to sabotage it on purpose.
Are we learning? Are we like acclimating to being rappers now?
Are we showing and growing? I don't know. So. I think we're just doing it with a lot more dumb confidence. Like, I think maybe at first we thought this is gonna be good. Now we're like, man,
we're like, we gotta make this enjoyable. And now everyone's just like, well, we skip over it. It's fun. It doesn't matter.
it's cool. Guys, we're learning. Thank you for learning with us. I even feel like the difference between episode 218 from episode 101 is huge. And thank you for sticking with us in that process. Well, let's get to the episode discussion in question. This is episode 218, Back in the Saddle. Which, by the way, I found, because I just Googled it to look for different stuff and references. And Back in the Saddle is an often used episode title for TV shows, which I thought was interesting.
That is pretty weird.
There's a few that are like super specific, but another one, Double Date, that's been a billion episode titles for TV shows from like season one. I'm trying to think of others that are like super common. One of them is not Nick and Nora, Sid and Nancy. That was a Gilmore Girls or Ridge.
You got The One with the Monkey. That's used like 100 times. No.
The One with the Monkey.
The One with the Monkey specifically.
Yeah. Well, let's start this episode discussion the way we start every episode discussion with a segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 218, Back in the Saddle, Pop Goes the Culture.
Chessboards for the Bobby Fischer freaks. There's a Buster Keaton routine waiting to happen.
Because as Devo says, if a problem comes along, you must whip it.
Someone's not taking to Elba too kindly.
What does that mean?
Just that Rory's the leader of this group, Napoleon, and you're not.
Yeah, it's a regular Dr. Doolittle.
We're way behind on all the Elvis Costello reissues coming out.
You know, you're bound by the rules of the Geneva Convention, Mother, just like everyone else.
When he couldn't foresee rivaling Cezanne, he lost interest.
It's not the Bhagavad Gita, Madeline. It's simple instructions for the business fair.
Godot was just here. He said, I ain't waiting for Richard. Grabbed a roll and left.
Coolness.
Stop.
Burn.
Said.
I feel like Ivan Bosky.
Ease up on that love potion you've been giving him, or he's going to start showing up at David Letterman's house soon.
Could you ask the Pigeon Sisters if there was a point?
People like Mark Twain wrote in margins.
Pilot a steamboat, write Huckleberry Finn?
Who's the boss the later years?
We talk about clothes and food and Push Spice and David Beckham.
Push Spice and David Beckham.
David Beckham. I love, this is a great Michelle episode.
Yeah.
By the way.
He actually kind of gets a story.
Yeah, a little bit of a story.
A little bit.
But
I love his mom.
Oh my God. We'll talk about his mom at length. But
otherwise, David Letterman, the Godot reference.
One reference that is hard to put in an audio is how Lorelai is pretty much holding up that Motley Crue book, The Dirt, like to camera every time that she's like, for all the time she's reading.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's basically just a behind the scenes, like, tour book by Neil Strauss of, like, the time he spent with Motley Crue and all the shit that they did. But, like, it genuinely seemed like an ad because of how much she was holding it to the camera and being like, this is a crazy book. And I was like, I don't know. That was the first time that I was kind of like, I don't like what's happening here with the reference.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It felt too real to be just a thing like, yeah, let's just pick this book.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It was too specific and like, what? The pages are great. The stories are wonderful. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, I don't know if I've ever seen product placement for a book in a TV show.
I don't think I have either.
That'd be so interesting. Unless it's like, unless there's something that we're not thinking of, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm sure there is.
I'm looking at it now, and it looks like this book came out about the time they would have been shooting that episode. So it seems like it might have been.
So maybe it was. That's so interesting. Or maybe Palladino was actually just reading it, and she was like, right, what you know?
Maybe she was just like, oh, fuck, we need a book. Here, take this one.
This one. Anyone will do. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is, after helping Rory with her project for Chilton's annual business fair, Richard realizes he's tired of retirement and wants to start a second career.
Huge spoiler.
Yeah.
The only thing that is revealed in this episode is that's a spoiler.
How about just Richard helps Rory out with the Chilton's annual business fair? Boom. Fine.
Oh, God.
Who's
writing these?
I don't know. I enjoyed this episode a lot.
I did too. It was a fun episode.
It was like fun filler. See, something was here that was missing in 217 for me. that it's hard to quite put your finger on other than that. I don't know. How would you articulate it?
It was definitely fun filler. Part of me feels like there wasn't really a B plot, but in thinking about it now, there were a few.
Well, there's Dean.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Washing the car.
that made me sad because it's not only a complete 180 of how he was like two episodes ago, but it's a complete different. It feels like she has a different boyfriend than she did in season one.
It feels like they broke up,
and when they got back together, he's very different. And I don't know.
Do you think that's a choice, or do you think that's like just a writing oversight that there's not character consistency between those two things? Because yeah, the guy from season one would be, you would think, have a little more chill and wouldn't be like, aren't you gonna come to my softball game?
Yeah,
do your homework there.
Guy from season one probably wouldn't play softball.
Yeah, or no, he did remember? Yeah, because Christopher came to that game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Huh.
But I know what you're saying, that there seems to be so many things that are like a little more intense. And you know what? As crazo as Dean was in this episode, and as more and more we're delving into like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Like, my heart still goes out to him because like I kind of have the perspective that Lorelai has where it's like, bro, you're freaking out and it's okay, but you need to give girl space.
Yeah.
And like give her the room. What was the line? The line at the end was like, I had time to miss him today or something like
that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Actually, I had time to miss him today. But yeah, like it didn't seem creepy to me. I know it might to other people, but it just seemed like sad. It was like, oh, buddy.
It didn't seem creepy to me because they're in a relationship, but
right.
If they weren't, obviously it would be.
yeah, if it was just like Kirk doing all these things.
yeah, but it was sad. It was the kind of thing that it was sadder once we saw him. Once we saw him washing the car specifically, mm-hmm. was like the kind of thing where you're just like, oh, hey, it's like someone needs to talk to you about this. And the Lorelai talk that he had was really good.
Productive, fruitful, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was the kind of thing that like the Paladinos clearly like wrote that more carefully. Not that they write everything sloppily, but it was like something that is like, it was almost advice that they're giving to people in relationships, and it was like really good. I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah, because sometimes that's such a good point. Because sometimes in TV shows, the conflicts are real basic. It's like he cheated on you. Well, you need to forgive him. Like it's really binary and very unnuanced. And
yeah.
So I think it's nice for a show like this, for a show on the WB, to like really take its time with like. No, Dean's not totally wrong to be, like, threatened by Jess. Like, in this episode, the way in which he's threatened by Jess is, like, he's not like, I'm going to murder him or something. He's
yeah.
like, oh, I'll just, like, I'll do romantic gestures for Rory and
yeah,
I'll help
like,
with
I'll
the car.
My worth.
Yeah, like, and to me, that's, like, an interesting, more reflective of life conflict to delve into rather than, like, this person's stepping out on this person and this blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it seems more detailed and specific and relatable for that reason.
Right.
Like, I know some of the, you know, like Neil Campbell kind of related to Dean in episode 216 mm-hmm. that we talked to. I'm sure there's guys that have been there where it's like, you feel like your girl's slipping away. And so you're like, here's balloons. Here's everything. Come
yeah.
spend time with me. I don't know. You know, and you kind of start panicking. But overall, a great Richard episode.
Yeah.
Good stuff for Richard.
I love that the first time we see him, he's in like that mechanic's outfit.
Yeah, which was alarming.
Yeah.
To not see him in a bow tie and a suit.
It was very much like, oh, Richard's letting his hair down.
Yeah.
He's
going to a Halloween party.
Yeah. Going to a Halloween. Could you imagine? Who would Richard dress up as Halloween?
He would dress up as Mark Twain.
He would. He'd
Wouldn't
put on
he?
A new bow tie and just be like, I'm Mark Twain, the world's greatest author.
Yeah, he would just put on a mustache and like grow his hair out a little
yeah.
bit and put on a wig. Him and Val Kilmer going at it. Is that still running?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Val Kilmer does a one-man show, or did do a one-man show of Mark Twain.
Yeah.
But apparently he would put like Batman jokes in it.
What?
I'm not kidding. Like it wasn't
Why?
Like historically accurate. It was like Batman Forever. Like it was stuff like that. It was really weird.
That
so,
is really weird.
I hope some bootleg recording of that exists somewhere. And
yeah, my favorite part about the theater is that I can't watch it at home.
It's there
my
and then
least
it's gone.
Favorite. That was I don't know. That was a joke. From now on, I'm going to end all my jokes with that was a joke.
That was, oh, so I know.
Yeah.
I usually do it by saying, knows. I just laugh like an insane person after I say every joke.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'll think about changing my method. Brad is back.
Brad.
My favorite
He's
person.
He's back at Chilton.
He's not my favorite person.
Well, I mean, don't you think Brad and Rory should get together, dude?
No.
Okay, me neither. All right.
But I love Brad and Rory's like little, hey, we're classmates. Isn't that cool dynamic? And then immediately after he's like, Paris. Oh, shit.
My D just went inside myself.
Oh, God. And the way that Paris is mean to Brad is so funny to me, just as a viewer. Like, not as a person, I'm like, oh, God, Paris, be a little bit nicer. But as a viewer who knows that Brad is supposed to be, like, this neurotic sort of, like, dork character, mm-hmm. I love Paris being mean to him. Because she's also, like, Paris, when she's mean, is like a firecracker. She's fucking smart as a whip, and she just gets off the best one-liners and just throws them away.
She's in her element.
Yeah, she like, really is.
Mean Mad Paris is, like, this is what you were born to do.
Right. I don't know why I can look at Paris and be like, that's a great character, and not think of anything as a person. But when I look at Dean, I'm just like, that's a bad person. Like, I don't know how to, I don't know why I see one as one and one as the other.
Maybe because she's pretty.
That might have to do with it.
Let's get into the fashion report real quick.
Fashion.
Okay, I think that was better than it was last time.
We're getting better.
When our stutters were like, Paris's hair looks great in that first scene.
It does.
Yeah, because she's wearing it down. She usually has it in a ponytail in all those Chilton scenes.
It's all coming out for the business fair. She's letting her hair loose. She's relaxing and chillaxing. Just chilling out.
Did a beat ball outside of the school when a couple of guys, they were up to no good. You said chilling out, Max, and relaxing.
Is that our transition to talking about Michelle's mom, who is Aunt Viv in Fresh Prince?
She is?
You didn't make the connection, dude?
What?
Yeah, dude, she's Janet Hubert.
What?
The first Aunt Viv before she was replaced after 3 seasons.
Like the first Darren or the first Marta.
Yeah. Marta.
I didn't make that connection.
Oh, man. I thought that's why you were doing it. But yeah, that's Aunt Viv, dude. We'll talk about her later. But yeah. Although, speaking of Michelle's mom while we're on the fashion report, her dress is like fluorescent pink.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that you know they had to like color grade down a bit.
Oh, yeah. They spent half the FX budget.
Yeah. That's why you don't see a lot of the characters here.
Yeah, because they had to cut them out. Lorelai has a weird Matrix coat.
What, like the Matrix numbers and
just
stuff?
Just like a long leather. That's what I mean by Matrix. Like anything that's like long and leather.
Oh, like
when
Dean
she
Matrix.
Yeah, when she comes to yeah. Well, no, because Dean's actually cuts off like at about the waist, but Lorelai's goes down to maybe her knees. Hmm. It's when she comes home and finds Dean washing the car.
Yeah,
and just like not digging it, not feeling it. Not feeling that coat.
Not feeling it.
And then otherwise, I think that's about it for fashion, right? I didn't notice anything else with Charleston or Suki or...
Yeah, me neither.
I think we're good. All right.
Charleston?
Headmaster Charleston?
Oh, right, right.
Let's close it out. Fashion. Good fashion report.
Good fashion.
Did you think it was weird that Rory could immediately identify Jess's handwriting from a huge drawn out sign?
Yes.
It didn't seem to be a 1-to-1 ratio.
I can't recognize most people's handwriting, like no matter how much time I spend with them.
Nor could I. But also just seeing it on a sign, it doesn't seem like you'd be like, oh,
yeah,
that's them. It's like, no, that's so like Jess. A thing. Yeah. Yeah. Classic Jess.
Unless maybe if you're thinking, like, unless you're preemptively thinking, is that something Jess would do? And then you look at the handwriting and you're like, oh, yeah, that's his.
I thought it was an interesting decision to keep Jess off screen all episode. He was not in it, was he?
Yeah, I think it was sort of because of the Dean subplot, and I think putting Jess in there sort of makes you think more about whether or not... I think putting him in there is kind of like a you going, oh, maybe Jess should be the new boyfriend or something, as opposed to having it just be... like, if he's off screen, that... isn't presented, and you have to sort of think like, what's Dean doing? Is he doing? No, she's not really obsessed with Jess. We didn't even see Jess today.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
The ambiguity of the end. I know I'm skipping ahead, but whatever.
That's fine.
I just want to talk about it. Is that's like the culmination of why I love that Jess has been off screen this whole time. It's like keeping Jaws off screen for the like hour of the movie. Jaws.
Jess is Jaws.
Yeah. The conversation that Lorelai and Rory have on the way home from the dinner. I just think is so well done. Just like the nuance of it, and that Lorelai is not getting in Rory's grill about, like, oh, why are you going to Luke's? But you know she has her suspicions. Like, we just ate. Why would you want to go to Luke's again? Yeah. And Rory's like, oh, it's whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And she probably is going to see Lane, and I believe she is, but yeah. She's also probably seen Jess with Lane. And the threat of that, and it just kind of like slowly sneaking into her life. And then Lorelai coming home to Dean on the porch, which was a weird move. Because, like, if you think about that day, Dean paged Rory once. And then she said, oh, yeah, it's the first time we talked today. I had time to miss him. And then he was like, I paged her once. I'm going to her house
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair game. And then he says, like, no, she likes Jess, doesn't she? And Lorelai has nothing to say.
Yeah.
And her face is so good. Lauren Graham's face is so, so good in that moment. And because it's like, it's kind of like game over at this point. Even in that, it just feels like there's no, it's an uphill battle or right. a downhill. Uphill and downhill are both bad. Isn't that funny?
It's an uphill battle. It's a downhill.
It's all downhill mm-hmm. from here.
Oh, well, in different contexts, yeah.
Right.
It's all downhill. It just means everything's getting worse. But it's an uphill battle means it'll be fine, but you got to work for it.
Oh, okay. You really changed my perspective on that.
Yeah. Sort of went from downhill to uphill, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Uphills, downhills. Downtown Abbey. Yeah, so I love that ending. And then just in general, the Demi just did a full body stretch on
that's
the couch.
Not true. No one can see that.
Let's talk about the Richard storyline.
Yep.
It was so fun to see him. We got an alarming... Actually, can you do the Twitter Q&A theme song real quick?
Twitter Q&As.
There we go. An alarming number of people wrote in to ask about Paris and Richard. Lou on Twitter asked, this may be me, but did this episode try to set up a potential Paris and Richard adultery thing?
Mm.
And they're not alone. There was another one. Someone on, where is it? At Flagophile. Is it just me or does Paris seem to be hitting on Richard hardcore 90% of the time in this episode?
All right. When watching it, I sort of thought like it was weird. Like at different moments, I was like, Paris and Richard have a weird chemistry. And then I was thinking about Edward Herman talking about his chemistry with Alexis. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about how weird it is that Paris was at his house just earlier before everyone else. And
Emily was there.
No, I know. There's no part of me yeah. that thinks there was an adultery subplot. They're just very yeah. much in sync. They're the same person, different ages. Richard probably was never as cruel as Paris is. But... It's funny that they thought that because in my head I thought that too, but I was also like, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Shut up.
I didn't think like, oh, think they want to go to Pound Town. Like,
no,
it was
God,
like,
no.
It was just like, oh, they kind of activate each other,
yeah.
which is great, especially when you can find that in an intergenerational sort of way because that's yeah. so rare. It wasn't like, now, if when they had answered the door at Richard's place, and Paris had been like buttoning up.
Yeah. Oh, something. Hey. What? Hey.
Oh, hi. Then I would have been like, all right. Well, maybe there's things here.
Yeah.
But no, it was all good, guys. It was all above board.
All above board.
No trouble. But so that's actually when I love seeing Paris too, because I know we said like, oh, she's in her element when she's mean, but also she's in her element like. And I think at her most pure, when someone recognizes something beautiful about her and something like valuable
yeah.
and worthwhile. And so when Richard says, and you really think this is going to work? I think so too. And she's like, ugh, and she starts smiling real big.
About
and she's
that
confident.
Moment, it felt real Dead Poets Society for Richard to just be like, you're right, it will. And then like to stand up and like talk to them
captain
all.
My captain.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I want Richard to become a teacher or, like, teach a class or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
That brings us to a question from Justin Kyle Valdez. He asks, would you buy that product when you were in high school? Sounds like a gas station trinket. And I got to agree.
It definitely sounds like a gas station trinket.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I would buy it. Part of me thinks if I saw a lot of people buying it, I'd probably be like, yeah, maybe I need one.
A first aid kit with Bobby Fischer chess pieces on it?
Yeah, dude, I love Bobby Fischer.
But I hate first aid.
Yeah.
I'm torn. That was the one thing about the story in this one where it's like, I buy that they're buying it and everyone's selling it well, but I would not, and even as a high schooler, I wouldn't be like, oh, it's got leopard print. Like, if I was a girl, I don't think I'd be like, oh, it's leopard print first aid.
It's
That's
all
cool.
about making other people want it first and then getting, like, the fact that Madeline Louise would buy it means that maybe other people in that circle would buy it. And then once it becomes like, oh, a lot of people have this thing. Oh, I can buy it. Oh, it's kind of cheap. Yeah, yeah, I'll buy it.
I guess so. Like Tamagotchis.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have one?
I did.
So did I. This next question comes to us from who else?
Poop Doctor.
Poop Doctor. Now, we need to talk.
Do we?
Because on this show, we've been using the gender pronoun he.
I call him my man.
My man Poop Doctor. He wrote us another question, blah, blah, blah. Guys and girls, I'm not sure if Poop Doctor is a guy.
Poop Doctor, if we've been misgendering you, we apologize. And also, please reach out to us just to be like, yeah, I'm not a dude. Anyway.
Yeah. Or she'd probably be like, yeah, I'm not a dude.
You might have a deep voice.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't want to make
any judgments. That is so close-minded of you, Kevin. How dare you?
Well, we've been like, is it sexist? And it wasn't...
Kevin, welcome to my ass.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're going to say it like that, say it with a little more gusto. Kind of like, welcome to my ass. Anyway, there's always like...
I'm holding my hand in my head, and I popped up to go, welcome to my ass, and go back down.
There's always like a little pause after that where it's like... What have we done?
Yeah, it's fine.
So Poop Doctor, whether you're a guy or a girl,
what'd they ask?
You're valuable to us. He or she asked, did the headmaster have it in for Richard? Because the locker alarm thing would never, ever fly in most schools. It would be too much of a distraction, especially as you scale to schools that have thousands of students. Like, I thought they were going to reveal he had the hots for Emily or something and was trying to get back at him. That'd be a fun twist.
The conversation they had did end very weirdly with him turning and going like, you too.
Yeah, there was some side eye.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand quite why.
I wish they had talked about that more. Like, I didn't understand it either. I think, like, I guess the explanation would be that, like, Richard knew he was going to screw them over or something. But, like, it didn't seem like he was... he didn't seem like he had it out for them. Like, he genuinely seemed like the locker idea was probably... I don't know. Sometimes in school fairs, like, the stupidest thing wins. Like, mm-hmm. It's always like that. That's fine. I think Richard overreacted. I think...
Oh, when he said, this is not about me! Yeah. It's about the children!
Yeah.
The children!
He almost... His face got so red, and he just, like, seemed so frustrated. Like, almost as... His, like, skin was shaking around his face. Yeah.
But, then there was that scene... What I did not
What was the locker alarm? Like, I mean, like, what was the...
I don't know. I forget.
But, like, was it like if someone opens your locker and it's not you, it's an alarm?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting. Well, actually, let me use another Twitter Q&A question.
Q&A.
This is from Monia. Monia? So she emailed us how to pronounce her name. I'm going to look it up right now because that's so disrespectful to not. We got you, Monia. Demi, fill for time.
Have you guys ever thought about what power truly can be? I'm not going to do that again. I can't think of too much to do unless I just read my emails in the voice of Frank Underwood, which is also not a fun way to spend this time.
Regardless, since you inquired, it's pronounced like the Monia part of ammonia. Monia, so it is Monia. Got it, nailed it, crushed it. Monia asks, why is Rory so hesitant to ask Lorelai to be their consultant? She's never had a problem involving herself in school stuff before, has she?
No. Maybe she thinks that she's not the right fit for it, like genuinely. Like, not that Richard, like Richard, offering Richard as a solution seemed like her getting out of it very much so, but her say, like her not wanting to be on it really just felt like it was like, I don't know if I'm the right person for that. Which is true. I couldn't see her being a good fit there.
But why was Rory afraid to ask her? She was like, oh, I guess I could.
I don't know.
That was weird to me.
Yeah.
If anyone has any ideas, let us know. Let us know. Let us know.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
No, I like that. Let us know. Let us know. Let us know.
What did you think of the scene between Emily? This one comes from Greer, this question. What did you think of the scene between Emily and Richard when they disagree over Richard helping Rory?
scene of Emily and Richard when they disagree about Richard helping.
When he's working on the car.
Yeah. A lot of car work today.
Yeah, and Emily comes out with a crazy... She is relegated to, like, the token mom.
She is in this episode.
In this episode.
Especially when she's asking if everyone wants food, and Richard's just like... Emily, we're working here.
Emily, you're being such a buzzkill right now.
Jesus, Emily, I'm just talking to my bros, huh? Why don't you go fucking
but
get
she,
out of here.
She come,
get out of here.
She comes out to the driveway, and she says with a crazy energy.
We have cookies. Would you like cookies?
Oh, my God.
We have cookies. Would you like cookies?
Would you like cookies? I've been doing cocaine lately. Have you tried cocaine, Rory?
Rory. But, I mean, that'd be kind of, you know, this would be a classic Stars Hollow meal. Of course, the entree would be...
Nice chicken.
And then you'd have a side of...
Mucho mac and cheese.
And then for dessert, you would have...
We have cookies. Would you like cookies?
Oh, my God.
All the food.
All the food.
Represented.
And then afterwards, you can try a plum. They're better than sex.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
We got to get those cross stitches, bro. Someone made a cross stitch. We retweeted it.
I think I'm going to make a remix with all these soundboards.
Are you actually?
I would, if you send them to me, I'll do that.
Okay,
and then we'll play it.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Or if any of you want to do it.
No, let's not.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, we love you guys making stuff, but I feel so weird every time we're like, you guys should make this for... Anyway.
Do you actually feel weird?
I do a little. I feel weird asking for
it. I'm always half joking, because expect anyone to
do it.
And anytime
But then when people do, I'm always like, wow, that's great, but we asked for it.
Are we drunk with power?
Yeah. Are we drunk with power?
Power is the only alcohol worth drinking, in my opinion.
Make sure that you remember to floss. The presidentist.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
We're getting there.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
The scene between Emily and Richard. Oh, yeah, I didn't understand what Richard was like. I have a lot of work to do. I'm busy.
I got this car.
Yeah, like, I didn't quite understand his hesitation other than just, like, why wouldn't he want to help out Rory?
I don't know. Maybe he, I mean, it seemed like he put everything on the table with regards to why he wouldn't want to get involved, like, with a business thing. Just because, like, I'm retired. I don't know if I can do it. Which is just his, ego getting to him being like, I don't know, I'm not really a business dude anymore.
Yeah.
But
I guess that also plays into his kind of the way they've characterized him as kind of absent-minded in general.
I thought it was very funny when he turned on the fucking like classical music to drown Emily
out.
That
is the best part.
I almost wish he just put on his headphones and like started nodding his head just like, you can't control me, Mom. I'm a kid and I'm 16 now. I can do whatever.
Well, that was what, and I need to make a video of this. Hopefully I can do it by the time this episode comes out. But I want to like, and it's such a dumb, easy job. I just want to re-edit some other music in there.
Music.
Like, yeah. Put some stain. It's been a while. And then, so the scene where he is advising, and we touched on it a little bit, my favorite part of that, just his complete lack of poker face in the meeting, when Madeline and Louise were like, let's do this stupid thing.
Yeah, he's just rolling like, his eyes and like, I loved that. It's like, oh, I need a like, Excedrin PM or
like,
something.
Literally rubbing his head like, oh.
Yeah, and he was rolling his eyes so hard. Did Rory come to the table with an idea?
No.
Okay. I was expecting Paris to pitch something and then Rory to pitch something. And I was like, oh, there's going to be the drama because he's going to like Paris's idea more than Rory's. I don't know. I always try to sort of like assume what I know is going to happen in the next episode just because or in the next part of the show. I feel like it's a good way for me to be like, oh, that wasn't expected. That was a pretty good whatever. But
it's a set of expectations and then have them shattered.
But Richard's entire subplot was – it was – I only expected what was going to happen when it came to the end, and they didn't win. Because that seems like
you expected that he was going to get back into business.
Well, no, I didn't expect that at all, and I loved that. I mean, I like the idea of Richard being retired forever. I would have been fine with that, but him like being driven to go back into business
and give himself another sense of purpose.
Yeah, it's sort of what Richard would want, and I like that he's doing that because I love him.
I love him too. I love the way when he said, I hear Jane Magazine is blah, 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 blah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I wrote that down. And how do you know about Jane Magazine?
I have my ways, young lady.
And then he throws the sassiest face I've ever seen.
It was like pretty.
Yeah. He's like, I have my ways, young lady.
I have my ways, young lady.
Perfect.
What are his ways? He like just.
I don't know. Someone said, like, was he reading in secret in the bathroom?
Yeah.
I don't think like that.
I mean, he did find out that he was in Autumn in that one time that he's reading the newspaper.
That's
outside
true.
The house.
Back when he was literally just like a figure of a grandfather in like 106.
What's for dinner? I'm in Autumn.
I'm reading the newspaper. These are my three
things. How charming.
Electro lemon.
Come on.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm getting hungry. Emily, do you have anything?
We have cookies. Would you like cookies?
I would, Emily. Thank you.
The weirdest part is that you just did that to yourself.
Yeah, Demi, I don't need you to be here.
What if instead of me being a co-host, the co-host should be the soundboard. It's like, what did you think of this episode? Nice chicken. That's cool. Let's go around the horn and rate it. What did you think?
Do you know what Shaq's last name is?
Shaq who?
What was the context of that again?
It was Dosey,
right?
Like, yeah, it was Dosey.
Ooh, I'm getting to a point where I almost don't need to, like stress.
It's getting better, man.
I don't have to psych myself up to say Dosey. I'm just like, okay, it's Dosey. I know
the context of that is when he was about to intro the pep rally, and he was like, we got all the stars.
Shaq who?
Shaq who?
Oh my God. It sounds like he's saying Shaq Fu, which
Shaq
is that game.
Fu? That'd be amazing.
It's a game.
What? Shaq Fu?
Shaq Fu, yeah.
You play Kung Fu's Shaq?
I'm pretty sure. I've never played it, but wow. It's definitely a game.
Shaq Fu? Maybe it's viral marketing, like 13 years in advance.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Michelle's mom.
Michelle's mom.
She's... Mommy.
His mom is, like, just seeing Michelle, like, almost happy and charming is such a nice change.
Reprieve.
From, although I do love him as this, like, downtrodden sort of an asshole, but seeing him as this charming guy who loves his mother was such a surprise and, mm-hmm. like, such a great thing. And seeing his mother then is like, oh, my God, she's, like, this fluorescent, bright, I don't know. It's weird that him eating carbs was like a thing that broke down the wall between them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was funny that we didn't ever get like a ending to that. It was just kind of like, you've ruined my life, Lorelai. And then it's like, well, we won't see him again.
Goodbye.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Janet Hubert who played Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for the first three seasons.
I had no idea. I wasn't as much of a Fresh Prince guy.
Oh, I love Fresh Prince.
Other than like, why don't he want me, Uncle Phil?
Oh, God.
Oh, why
don't
he want me?
That's a hard episode. They had some hard episodes of that show. Yeah. There's the episode where Carlton buys a gun.
Is that true?
Yes, yes. 100% true.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's either because he gets... Yeah. I think it's he gets mugged or someone get... there's an episode where he and Phil... No, he and Will get mugged. And I think that's when he buys a gun. But there's also an episode where someone's in the hospital and he buys a gun for his protection. I don't know. A lot of real shit. And then there's the episode where he and Will are stopped thinking that they stole the car they're driving, which is like a fucking...
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
Like a race episode in the 90s. It was great. That show is incredible.
Yeah.
This show's all right.
I mean, Sister Sister was probably better, but I'm just kidding.
Sister Sister's no... It's no Gilmore Girls.
But, you know, Sister Sister changed the theme song midway, and it totally...
They changed it, I'm pretty sure, every season.
Did they actually?
I think so.
Sister Sister. But then they were on the WB, and then they're like... Because I think they were on ABC, and then they went to WB. Doesn't matter. They're all great shows.
Welcome to Sister Sister Brothers.
Oh, no. I mean, I feel like we went on a little tangent, so we gotta say... Welcome to my ass.
No, never mind.
What?
I was going to say, we, like, co-opted this person's bio for, like, our own... I don't know.
I need to play the last part where she sings, "It's been waiting for you." I will next time. Well, and on that note, Jessica Frey, at Jessica N. Frey on Twitter, asks, where does Michelle's mother rank on Gilmore Girls moms?
Hmm. So we've got...
You've got Mrs. Kim. Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right.
You got Emily.
Do we count Lorelai?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was talking about, like, moms that are, like, here for a bit, like, Trix and... anyway.
But no. Isn't it funny how it is a show, it's more about moms than it is dads?
There's no 100% reason to have a Mother's Day episode because it's, like, that's every episode.
Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Galentine's Day on Gilmore Girls.
That's true. So we've got Michelle's mother, we've got Mrs. Kim, we've got Lorelai, we've got Emily, we've got Trix, we've got... Who else was a mother that comes in for a little bit?
I think those are the major mothers right now.
The major mothers. I'll say that she doesn't have a moment to be bad. She doesn't have a moment where we like see her in a different light other than this like bright, bubbly sort of Lady Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So... She's up there. She's more fun than Mrs. Kim, who unfortunately is like of the ones we mentioned, she's easily at the bottom.
I tell you what though, Mrs. Kim gets really fun.
Does she?
I don't want to say how, but
I will be happy if she gets really fun. Because it's sort of frustrating how her character is now.
Yeah.
The fact that she's away at a furniture convention just doesn't seem like something she'd do, but
or maybe Rory made that up. That's interesting, because I did assume Roy was telling the truth.
Yeah, I did
didn't
too.
Didn't you?
Yeah. I didn't think for a second she was lying.
So do you think it's possible that she was lying?
I don't know.
Because at the end of 2:16, Lorelai says, Roy doesn't lie. Yeah, Roy doesn't lie. And she had lied about Paris liking Jess, and that's why Jess was over. So is it now like Rory's a liar now?
I don't know. I don't think she lied, because if she had lied, it wouldn't be something we'd have to interpret. We'd
True.
It'd be like pretty finite.
Unless it was really trusting it to us to like make those weird, you know, like how on a lot of cable shows there's like a lot of ambiguity.
Yeah.
There's some ambiguity on this show and I really appreciate it. Like with the Dean stuff. Carissa at Warren White asks, is there really so much money in the insurance business? Carissa, by the way, I believe is the one that made us that amazing cross stitch with the roses.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carissa. Is there really so much money in the insurance business that Richard can A, be rich, B, retire, and C, start his own company?
Yes. I feel like I feel like with regards to where he's working, Richard was at a place where he was like one of the top dogs. So I think with any business, if you're at the
one
top.
One of the old dogs.
One of the old dogs. Or one
great
of the
movie.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's
I was about
so
to say
insane.
Wild Hogs.
Richard was one of the Wild Hogs.
He was one of the Wild Hogs for sure. He was one of the crazy ones.
Yeah.
I confuse Wild Hogs and Old Dogs all the time, and I don't know why. I don't know why I think about either of them.
They're very similar because they both have Tim Allen.
Yeah.
And they both have hogs and dogs.
Is John Travolta in Wild Hogs?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Or wait, is Old Dogs...
It's William H. Macy, Martin Lawrence, Tim Allen, and someone.
Wait, is Old Dogs just Robin Williams and John Travolta?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind. Welcome to Old Dogs.
Oh, wait, why was... Oh, Tim Allen was the Shaggy Dog. There's
more,
too many dog movies with the...
Too many formerly, dogs.
Formerly young superstars.
Richard was one of the top dogs.
He was.
He had a lot of money. Good nest egg. Although I do find it funny... Then in a mansion.
It was John Travolta, sorry.
Okay, cool. Please see Old Dogs. It's so insane. Just like get some beer and watch it with your friends. It's so, have you seen it?
I haven't.
It was the movie that inspired and partially inspired it. How Did This Get Made?
Really?
To like exist. Because they're like, we have to talk about this. It is one of the craziest. Because I think it was going to be an R-rated comedy, like a hard R. And then they're like, let's actually make it for kids. So they cut a bunch of stuff out, add a bunch of weird stuff in. And the end product is like, oh, it's a four-quadrant movie. It's supposed to be for everybody, and it's for nobody. It's so bad. So please watch that movie.
I should do that.
I do. What did I say? Oh, in a mansion, I find it funny that they couldn't have the meeting, the business meeting, anywhere but that dining room.
Yeah.
That there's no other rooms.
I mean, maybe it's just for the sake of presentation, but it was strange that they... Why did they meet at that house anyway?
Richard said, we have better snacks. Infinitely better snacks.
And then when they were offered snacks, he was just like, get out of here.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Come to our place. We have better snacks.
To refuse
Emily,
you.
We don't want to give them snacks.
You've been embarrassing me in front of my friends, Emily.
That's kind of what it was like.
It was totally that. Another one from @Flagophile. She asks, after how many messages did Dean lose his dignity? Because that was like... Hey, it's 4:32. Hey, it's 4:35 now.
Oh my God! Yeah, he said 4:30, and then he said it's about a quarter to five, and I was like, "Dude, slow down." If she's not responding, I mean, I know this is the kind of thing where it's like maybe she'll be home now, but it's like she'll see the message when she gets home, and then she will call you.
Do you think this is in character with how we've kind of been talking about Dean in the last couple of episodes of like an abusive kind of relationship? Because to me, it seems more like sad. Like, I don't know if it's like...
This doesn't seem abusive because manipulation. There's no escalation to it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just continuously sad. And then he's like washing the car and he's like, oh, I thought she'd be here. And the way he's portrayed is more sad than abusive. Although, isn't there one part where they talk and he's like, come to the softball game. And she's like, I don't know. And he goes like, why?
That one was the one that was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, boy. I think... I don't know if it's... Okay, the way that he delivers his frustrations with their relationship seems, like, abusive. But now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's just, like, sad and, like, unnecessarily angry. But...
Sad and unnecessarily angry.
Yeah. Not to defend him because...
The Dean story.
Extremely loud and incredibly unnecessarily angry. Extremely sad.
And the poster would be this. That's a visual joke.
I was like, oh, great, great visual gag.
I did... Did you like how in that first scene with Dean in Luke's with Lorelai and Rory, where he says, oh, hey, I knew you'd be here. And then the one where she runs into him on the street, that Rory acted like the protagonist of a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, oh, hi. Like, this man is going to hurt me.
Like, that was Gone Girl.
That was her vibe. Gone Girl. I cannot, you know the vibe I'm talking about? Yeah. I cannot think of the movie Gone Girl.
Have you seen Gone Girl?
Yeah.
I liked it.
I had issues with it.
All right, let's take it into the Gone Girl segment.
Okay.
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
All right. What was your issue with the second movie, Gone Girl?
This might have a few spoilers for Gone Girl, so if you haven't seen Gone Girl...
that's true. I didn't even think about that.
Maybe skip ahead a couple minutes.
Here, let's...
I'll talk about it in broad terms.
Okay.
I just think, even though it's strange, and maybe I'm just overly sensitive to it as a reaction, but even though it was written by a woman, I think it is like a male fantasy of crazy girl syndrome.
I did think about that when I watched it,
yeah.
And then I read something that Gillian Flynn wrote. It might be Gillian, I don't know. But she wrote about how, women, when portrayed as the bad character, are, like, villains in a way that is, like, so contained. It's like, oh, dude, she was crazy because she did this small thing, and it's like women should be allowed to play villains that are villains and, like, have... range and something like that. And this is very much a movie around Rosamund Pike, and it's kind of like Ben Affleck is just there for a lot of it, and until the twist anyway. I'm trying not to spoil it too, but I think she said a really good thing about it, about how women are allowed to be crazy and not have it be sexist.
Yeah, and I do see that part of it, and it's kind of like what we were talking about with the BoJack Horseman thing.
Yeah.
Like, why is your base of an average person, a male,
right?
Probably a white male. And so to make a villain, but to me, I don't mind like a female villain, but the specificity of this, where it's like, she's crazy. She made up these rape allegations. Yeah. I didn't rape her, but she gave herself these bruises. Like, when that is levied against women in real life, where it's like, she made up a rape allegation.
Right, right.
Which is like so insane, which is like a lot of the Cosby stuff. Like, oh, she probably just made that up for attention or for money.
Right.
What? You know, and I think movies like that, where I think if you're the wrong kind of guy, just like how some people saw Fight Club and
yes,
were like,
very much,
I'm going to start a Fight Club. That seems like a good, sane idea.
It's all about knowing the audience and recognizing that a lot of the audience might take this and be like, oh, that's how real life is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem of separation between like audience and product. But
yeah, and actually Film Crit Hulk has a really good essay about this. It was pre Gone Girl, I think, but just about Fincher's lack of responsibility as a director.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he'll be very neutral about stuff to the point where you don't know quite what he's saying, in a way. Like with Fight Club, when like hundreds of like thousands probably of teenagers and college guys were like, let's start Fight Clubs, and then when confronted about it, he was like, no, it was satire. Well, was it satire when you made it the most appealing thing in the world
right.
for the first two-thirds of your movie? And then Ed Norton was like, oh, JK, never mind. I shouldn't do Fight Club.
I feel like David Fincher specifically has that problem a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just maybe he just chooses projects that are like, I can portray this in a different way. And he doesn't realize that portraying it in a different way means sort of changing the meaning of it. But I haven't read the book, so I don't know what sort of disconnect there is between the way it's portrayed in the book and in the movie. And I'm sorry for the spoilers that we have now said for Gone Girl. Maybe we'll put in a little thing that'll just be like, spoiler or something.
Yeah, maybe I'll put in spoilers for Gone Girl, like, which is so insane.
Or you'll here, we can put in a thing that's like, skip to this time code. No? No.
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
All right.
Skip to whatever.
We'll do it.
Yeah,
whatever.
I'll have to do it later. I can't do it live.
Anyway.
Can't do it live.
This has been Gone Girl, guys.
Gone Girl, guys. Guys. That was a good Gone Girl, guys episode. I could continue. That's the good thing about the movies. You could talk about a lot.
Oh,
you know,
we definitely
regardless
could.
Of how you feel about it.
But that's not what this podcast is about.
No, it's about Gilmore Girls.
Oh, really?
Not Gone Girls.
Oh, God, I thought it was House of Cards. I'm in the wrong fucking room.
Oh, no, that's next door.
Okay, one second.
That's 23B.
All right, cool. I'm sorry about that.
See ya. Luke didn't have a lot to do in this episode.
He only had the thing about the eggs.
The omelet.
Which I hated.
Yeah, I hate it. Lorelai, it bugs me. It bugs me so much when she's like, Ha ha ha, I'm high maintenance. Tee hee hee.
I don't know why I can't have a disconnect for certain things about being like, isn't that so funny, like as a character decision?
Yeah.
Because like, but I, in that moment, I'm just like, ah, God, I really feel for Luke about how much he's talking about how hard it is to work today and how like he's just like, I'm so busy. And she's just like, oh yeah, let me get the special and take all these things off of it. Oh, that's the thing I always get. Like I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, what did I write down there? I actually wrote down, Rory said, that was cruel. Lorelai says, I know. And then they both go, ha 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 ha.
Like, they love being cruel to him, and it's fun.
Like that. That's kind of the epitome of, it's not, I think in certain contexts, it's fun to be.
It's a playful cruel, but when he's working, I'm just kind of, yeah, there's a part of me that's just like, hey, let him be.
Yeah, let him be.
Every other time, I love it. When they were going looking through houses, and she's just like, when the realtor assumes they're married, and she just goes with it, I loved that.
Mm-hmm. Concurred. Is there anything else we need to talk about in this episode? Suki stuff with the wedding invitations?
Okay, so in the very first scene we see her, she's counting the whips of the meringue, and then she's like, yeah, they go, the wedding invitations arrived, and she just throws the meringue. She like literally just throws it, and yeah. For some reason I was just like, oh, I don't like that. Although the whole, when we're introduced to Suki in the first episode, it's a very physical comedy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because the kitchen almost burns
down. She's the Charlie Chaplin of Stars Hollow.
Exactly.
Or I guess Mr. Magoo,
but she's gotten accurately. She's gotten so much... she's gotten so different from that. I felt weird seeing that, even though I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I like just the totality of one girl storyline being, oh, my wedding invitations aren't what I want them to be, and I'm freaking out about it. It just seems kind of limited, especially for a character as great as Suki.
I think it's – I sort of agree, although I will say I feel like that's like a totally real thing that if someone's wedding invitations are fucked up a week before they're going to send them out, she'd probably freak out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a lot of, and I know that sometimes it's portrayed as like too much and like bridezillas and whatnot, but I think when people are planning things like weddings, there's a real high stress element to it that makes people sort of stir crazy. And again, a lot of times that's amplified to be like, God, duh, women fucking, oh, brother. But I think that's a real thing. I didn't like how it was her whole storyline. I wish it had been like...
Yeah, give her some more stuff.
Yeah, more stuff going wrong.
Involve Jackson in it. Make it like a Jackson Suki. Like,
yeah, exactly. If Jackson were freaking out about it, I think it'd be...
That'd be really funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Screw it up, Paladinos. Just kidding. You guys are awesome.
Let us write this show.
Infinitely better snacks. Oh, and then, of course, I just need to briefly touch upon the line where Richard says that he's back in business, baby, and he says,
I have the buzz.
Did you, there was a point where he was talking about Paris's pitch for this first aid kit, and the phrase he uses is tricked out first aid kits or something like that. He's like, tricked out? And I was like, oh, what?
Totally radical.
Radical. Totally banging.
Hot slamming first aid kits.
I have the buzz.
It's so good. It's so good.
I have the buzz. I have my ways, young lady. I have the buzz. I have my ways, young lady.
This is all this podcast buzz. Is.
Yeah,
huh?
This is the rest of it.
I have my ways, young lady. I have the buzz.
Which is kind of the same thing.
Mucho mac and cheese.
Oh my God, it's all soundboards.
Yeah, well, just kidding. We're
Editor
not
going to love it.
I mean, did you like that?
I like that song.
Thanks, Michelle. How about you, Miss Patty?
Rory!
Well, that's not my name, but that's nice of you to say. Hey,
this all reminds
Taylor Dino Shakis.
Shaq who?
This all reminds me of that Arrested Development bit where it's like, my name is Judge. Judge, that's a silly name. Whose name is Judge? My name is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a silly name. Judge, my name. I am judging your name. It are silly. Is.
Whoa, and getting grammar on me.
Yeah.
You know what that was based on? There were really My Name is Earl ads that did that.
Really?
At the time. So yeah, that came from that Arrested Development joke. Was there was really a thing like, my name is Earl, when you opened up the magazine.
Yeah.
That said that. So that was based on that actual really annoying promotional
thing.
That's
so funny.
Isn't that great? Arrested Development, man.
It's another level. Even in the fourth season, I think.
Yeah, fourth season's a noble failure. I would say.
Really?
I think it's a noble
I don't think it's
failure.
A failure. I think they tried something different, and it took too long to get acclimated to that different thing. That, like, the first four episodes are a wash. But the rest of it,
honestly... That Lindsay episode, man.
I don't even remember.
And the George episodes, they're just not good.
I think that once it gets to the Tobias episode, I'm like, I'm so on board.
Tobias is... Like, Tobias episode's good, Buster's good.
Maybe, if I watch it back, I need to watch it back, but I just remember thinking, like, because I watched it all on the same night, which was a mistake.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It came out, and I was like, I'm trucking along.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was still in school then, so it was kind of a
thrill.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, my ass. Let's rate the episode.
Let's rate it.
I enjoyed it. This is like, well, you know, we said it was good filler, but things happened in this episode.
And nothing big. If this episode was taken out, aside from the whole Dean saying, aside from Dean's subplot, which mm-hmm. I felt was so small, despite all we talked about it, like, it felt like
it felt small, but it was effective.
Yes.
I think the way they did it was effective, and they did a good job of because making Dean a person again, rather than just like, who's this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I love Michelle's mom. I don't love that Emily doesn't have a lot to do, but I love Richard's storyline. And Paris and Richard activating each other, not making sex eyes at each other, guys, for all those
who might have suspected. Everyone chill out.
Yeah, everyone chill out about the Paris-Richard chemistry. Although, you know, that does kind of come into play later.
The Richard-Paris chemistry?
No, but let's just say... Paris has interesting taste in men. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no.
It's a little teaser.
I'm very excited to see Paris have a romantic element to her life, though.
Yeah.
Because Tristan was not good for her.
Those are good. I have some fun stories about... Or no, I don't have stories, but no, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Blah. Should we do a prediction? Maybe we should, like...
Ooh.
When it's just a solo episode, we should end on a prediction.
Okay.
Like, of what you think is going to happen.
Next?
Mm-hmm. Or, like, when you think a certain thing is going to happen.
Well,
like,
I think...
do you think Jess and Rory get together?
Yeah, yeah.
When do you think that happens?
I feel like I've been making awful predictions with regards to finales, so I'm going to say sometime in the beginning of season 3.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say by 3:02, they are together.
By 3:02, they're together. That's Demi's prediction right now. And by the way, for anyone who's listening, because most people listening are not watching for the first time, don't be a D-bag on Twitter. Don't say, hey, Demi, you know, blah, blah. Like, don't spoil things.
Yeah.
Like, keep cool, everybody.
Chill the fuck out.
Well, okay, I put it differently, but yeah.
Chill? No.
So by 3:02, Jess and Rory are together.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Yeah. My prediction my immediate prediction is that next episode is going to be a lot of Dean and Rory talking about their relationship. Oh my God, I just realized we're getting to the end of the season. This one has 22 episodes or 21?
Yep, so we got 19, 20, 21. We got 4 episodes left.
Cool, sick.
And we got some good guests coming up.
That we do.
We're very excited about. We're
George
not going to announce any.
Oh.
Well, oh, besides Georgie.
Well, yeah, I mean, sorry. We always announce the next show's guest, which is fine.
Which is totally fine.
George Bush, I will say
backfired on us.
A certain red hot chili papa, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah, I won't say exactly what I mean by that. Look, I'll just say they performed at a certain Super Bowl last year, you know?
Oh.
They've sort of, you know, I don't want to give it away now, you know? Look, I'm just saying, okay? Hey, oh, that's just what I say, yo.
Yeah. By the way, after this podcast, I'm looking forward to Californicating with someone.
Ooh.
Just kidding. I'm going to give this episode...
Under the bridge.
I'm going to give this episode 8 out of 10 stupid, tricked out first aid kids.
Tricked out first aid kids.
It's stupid. I don't like the idea.
We don't like it as grown adults, but I think as business people in the early 2000s, we probably would have been like, yeah, no, this is probably
maybe.
Good. Remember
I don't
know. Hit clips?
I don't know. Is that like snap bracelets?
No, it was those things where it's like, oh, here's 20 seconds of a song and you have this little player and you put it in and you hear the 20 seconds of that one song.
Oh.
Yeah, those were huge.
Oh my gosh.
Those were huge. Kids loved stupid shit.
That's just a ringtone now.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And it was like a physical version of a ringtone. But they had like a player and they had like things like you buy the little hit clips or you find them in cereal boxes and you could like you put it in and it just plays that 20 seconds of the song.
That's so bizarre.
I can't believe those are big. Thinking back on it now, it's like who's the businessman who thought of that?
Yeah.
And who is the person who gave them money to make that and who were all the kids who bought it and why did I probably have one?
Did you have one?
I think I did.
That's
yeah.
fun.
And then there's also all of those toothbrushes where it's like, yeah, I'm brushing my teeth and I'm listening to NSYNC.
I remember those. Yeah. Yeah. I thought those were pretty cool.
Those couldn't have been good for you.
Well, I don't think the music affected your dental hygiene.
No, I just feel like the vibrations, like getting that deep into your gums and shit, I don't know.
Maybe fine.
Yeah, it's probably fine.
I mean, this is all talk for Presidentis, truly. Yeah.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, hashtag Presidentis, guys. Tweet him.
Now I gotta write the Presidentis. I'm trademarking that. I swear to God, if any of you write a Presidentis movie, that's fine. I'm okay with that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I changed my mind. I'm going to give...
Guys, make a fake Presidentis poster for us.
No, no!
Just kidding.
No.
Don't do it.
Although, if you do, I like that. Don't do it.
I know. No.
Don't do it.
Okay,
but if you do it, it's cool.
If you do it, we'll be mad, but it'll also be awesome. What a weird position we put up.
I give this episode 7 out of 10 issues of Jane Magazine because I think it's a good one. I think it's nice filler. I don't think there's anything wrong with this episode in terms of the greater story of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it.
And a great ending, too. Yeah. Great ending.
7/10 is definitely when I'm just like, this is a good episode. I have no problems with it.
Right.
5 out of 10, which would be the usual average, is just like, this episode is nothing. It's just kind of there.
It's a piece of garbage to me.
This is the trash show.
The trash show. All right. I think we did it.
We did.
Let's talk about the call-in show.
Yes.
Let's actually figure this out on the air and see what our process is going to be.
Let's do a Skype thing.
What we'll do is we're not going to give out one of our actual numbers.
Come on.
Or something. No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
We're going to set up a number and then we'll have, we are going to do it because you do it through Skype. You can set up the number and link it to a Skype account.
Yeah, or like Google Chat or something.
Exactly. And then, so we're just going to have people on and I don't think it's going to be episode specific. We'll just have like a general call-in show.
Right.
That seems
and
to be the best
idea. And
because
of the time this should come out, it mm-hmm. should be... this Sunday, right? Because the episode we're recording right now will be on Wednesday.
It'll be this Wednesday, actually. This coming Wednesday.
February 4th?
This episode will come out Wednesday, February 4th.
Yes. True. So the call-in episode should be this Sunday, February 8th.
Right.
And we will figure out the details and probably tweet about them specifically so you guys know what's
mm-hmm.
going on.
I'm
going
to say right now it'll probably be... just according to our schedule, as we have it right now, I'm going to say it's going to be around 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So we'll have people call in, and we plan, if it goes well, and more than like 2 people call in, then we plan on having more of them, because it's really fun.
Yeah.
And it's a fun way to like interact and have a dialogue, because this is like everyone's show, I feel like.
Yeah, and we very much want to talk with you guys about it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to us just talking, then you just...
not just being like, you know, Jess sucks. We love Emily. Yay, you know. Like, add some more flavors into this mix.
Let's get some flavors
let's
up
get
in
it
this
going.
Bad boy.
But tentatively, as of the day we're recording this, we're going to say Sunday, February 8th, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll post the number on our Twitter at GilmoreGuysShow.com, which leads us in to our segment where you tweet, I will follow. I was doing a lot of big fist pumps during that you couldn't see, and Demi was sitting still.
That was.
In judgment.
Those weren't fist pumps. Those were like, we're off to see the wizard.
Okay, they're like sideways fist pumps.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Follow me at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter, on Instagram, and... Demi, you got a username to follow, right?
That I do. You can follow me on Twitter at Justin Bieber. You can follow me on Instagram at Justin Bieber. You can also follow me on Facebook at Demi. Don't add me on Facebook.
Facebook for personal stuff.
Thank you. Don't add me on Facebook.
Yep.
You can follow me at Electro Lemon. No, don't do it.
Electro Lemon.
Yeah.
Follow me on whatever.
You don't like playing that?
No, I do. Okay. It's my thing. I'm just like, oh, I see it coming. I'm just like, oh, here we go.
Here we go again. Yeah, we figured it out, I feel like.
Yeah, we're kings. why did you say that in such a way? Like, you know, we've got this figured out. We sort
I don't
of.
No, I don't know why I said it like that.
No, I think we're getting a hang on this.
Presumptuous at best.
No, it's fine.
Follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Email us stuff at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We read all that. People have been sending in amazing stuff because we talked about the dynamics about Emily and Lorelai, and we'll get to that on one of the next Gilmore Guys episodes.
Yes.
Because people have been just sending like beautifully written stuff and just well thought out stuff. And
you can also send us pictures of dogs if you want to do that.
Oh,
actually, send me pictures of dogs if you want to.
At Electra Lemon.
Yes.
And then we're on Facebook, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. And if you don't have iTunes or you don't want to deal with all that, we're on SoundCloud too. And they have an app for like Android and stuff, I think. So you can do it that way. Well, it's been quite a journey.
It has been. Demi. It has been a journey.
It's been such a pleasure doing this show with you.
And traveling out.
I'm sorry to see it in after this episode.
Look, we agreed. 218 is where we stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here we go.
In light of that, here's the last time we ever sing the theme song. I hope we don't start crying in the middle
Let's
of
make
it.
Sure people know that we're joking.
No.
Okay.
Out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name. Kevin's crying. On the next train.
Choo-choo.
Where you leave. I will
follow
anywhere that you tell me to.
Philip Seymour
Hoffman's here, and he's singing.
I will follow. Finish.
Where you lead, Philip Hoffman.
I'll follow
anywhere that you tell me to. Rest in peace. Philip Seymour Hoffman's here. Philip Seymour, we love you.
I'm not cool.
Or what does he say as Lester Bangs in Almost Famous?
It's
cool to be uncool.
He says something about being uncool.
Yeah. So we're uncool. Bye.
Bye.
I like that song.